Welcome to Comment With Me, Lauren Booth. This is Press TV's live show, giving you the chance to have your say on what's happening in the world. George Galloway can't be here tonight, so it's you and I having tonight's great conversation. As George says, it's only a debate, though, if you join in. If you disagree with me, all the better. I'm in London, but wherever you are, we want to hear from you, and we'll call you back, so don't worry about the phone bill. Join me for the great debate by calling +44 208 601 4555. You can also SMS on +44 78 00 00 8066. Or if you prefer to email us, why not send one to comment@presstv.co.uk. So pick up the phone now, send an email. As always, there is plenty to talk about. Let's start with Bahrain. Blood is being shed to the sound of the international community shrugging its shoulders. How many more weeks are we going to have to say that? Now 32 doctors have been arrested and detained by Bahrain's police. Why? For helping the injured. Another abuse of international law. Still, it looks like King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa and his cronies may see that the game is up, because he's allegedly moved $42 billion into Swiss banks since the protests began. What does that mean? Anyway, can a royal family who oversees the murder of its citizens really survive much longer? Have your say now. Talking of royals, here in Britain, the Foreign Secretary is throwing not one but two lavish knees ups for world leaders and international liggers to celebrate the wedding of Prince William next week. Guests of the nuptials will include, amongst others, the kings of Bahrain and Saudi Arabia. Will you be celebrating with them while you watch them on TV? Let me know your thoughts. Meanwhile, today in Yemen, the president, Ali Abdullah Saleh, has been offered the option of resigning with a guarantee that he won't be prosecuted. Immunity for the common good is the idea behind that offer, but still, 130 Yemenis at least have been killed during protests. Where's the justice? Now, I want to hear your views. And I should say that when we're in conversation, any views that I expressed will not be those of Press TV, merely my own. The show is not scripted, but it is broadcast live, and it's all about your thoughts, your comments. So call now. There's certainly a great deal to talk about. Let's talk more about Bahrain, I hope, today, because 32 doctors treating people, injuries out of control in major cities there, and this goes against international law. We can perhaps go to Khalid in Germany now. Khalid, welcome to Comment.
Yes, first of all, thank you for this channel, the channel of the revolution. And first of all, I want to ask a question about the supporters of Israel, these dictatorships. How can we lose all these dictatorships, and how can will this Saudi mafia killer family go from this graveyard of the Prophet Muhammad and lose the Muslims, all Muslims, Shia and Sunni united together? How can we achieve this? And this support, I think this is all the supporters of Israel. This is supporters of Israel. He want peace with Israel. Hezbollah, he's defeated Israel in Lebanon. And he go to Lebanon and said years ago, we want peace with you. And now he killed Muslims. And how can this, this is not Muslim. This is not Islam. He don't respect Islam. He don't support Islam. He support killers like Tunisian president and the Gaddafi killer, supporter of Israel, and the supporters of... how can we defeat them all?
Khalid, you made several points there. One of them is about the amount of money that is propping up dictatorships and rogue royal families. And the other one is about cooperation between Arab states and Israel. Not necessarily different things, admittedly. I mean, do you think it's to do with money corruption, military intervention or pressure from the US, perhaps? What do you think? Khalid, are you still
yes,
there?
Yes. I think Israel and America support all his friends. And
Well, I think what's most interesting here is looking at the recent changes in the voice of Egypt, the foreign minister there saying quite clearly that they are looking at opening the Gaza crossing at Rafah for the first time in almost 6 years. That's an incredible sign that of movement there, people power. Of course, the FM in Egypt, known to be someone who's rather a populist, shall we say politely. A lot of these regions that are coming up that have ousted their dictators are soon to have elections. So there's going to be a lot of anti-Israel rhetoric, because the people on the streets, the Arabs on the streets that you meet, have always supported the Palestinian cause. Whereas now, they have a chance to actually act on it. Glenn from Portsmouth, welcome to comment. Glenn from Portsmouth, welcome to comment. What would you like to say? I think we might have lost Glenn from Portsmouth. Glenn, are you there? You wanted to talk about Bahrain, of course. We were talking... Okay, thanks very much. We'll take another call. Perhaps we'll get back to him later. You know, the outrages that are going on in Bahrain don't just revolve around the medical profession, of course. Recently, a 20-year-old poet was taken from the streets. She was raped and she was found by her family 2 weeks later in a coma in a military hospital. These sorts of things are happening throughout the region. Where is the international outrage? Where is the support for Bahrain? Unfortunately, the only support we've seen is for the Bahraini royal family with tanks from Saudi Arabia rolling into the cities there. I think we can speak to Marcia in London now about Bahrain. Marcia, welcome to comment.
Hello. Good evening, Miss Booth. Thank you very much.
What would you like to say this evening?
Yes. First of all, can I say thank you and just give me 5 seconds to say... family of Vittorio Arrigoni, who was killed recently in Palestine. A great, great man, and we will always be with him. Okay, now I talk about Bahrain. I am absolutely disgusted. I'm boiling. How on earth can they touch medics? I mean, how can they touch mosques? How can they touch the Quran? They are not Muslims. Here is people in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, protesting for the burning of Quran in America. And I tell them, what's the difference? It's done by the Saudis and the Bahraini regime, and that doesn't matter. It's the same Quran. It's the same mosque. It's Allah's house. And regarding them being invited to the royal wedding, I'm not at all surprised. They are all bloody murderers. You look at the history. Look at how many people Britain has killed, how many people Bahrain and Saudi Arabia has killed. So that doesn't surprise me in the least. And as usual, they get the seats next to the toilets. They're not really welcome there. So let them go. Let them be insulted. Obama insulted the Qatari, whatever he calls himself. I wouldn't call him a leader. He's not a leader. He was joking about him. And then he is supporting America in Libya. There's one thing, I don't agree with Press TV giving a lot of time to the Libyan opposition in UK, in Manchester. I mean, why? Why? In Libya, there are people who are against what they are doing. Why is Press TV giving them a lot of time?
Let's talk a little bit about Bahrain, because what you said there about the peaceful protests, you mentioned that you've been talking to some of your Pakistani either colleagues or friends, and that they seemed less interested than the murders on the streets there of protesters than elsewhere. You know, there was a clip on YouTube that was very moving of a Bahraini protester holding up the Quran, and some foreign military shot the Quran out of his hands. Now, while the other protesters fled, this man stayed under the tear gas and the rubber bullets to pick up the pages of the Quran. But you know, it's a lot to ask the Bahraini people, the majority Shiite population, 70% there, to carry on being absolutely peaceful, and yet this is the instinct because of their Islam. Are you not seeing that kind of moral support then in your colleagues and friends for the Bahrainis?
Well, we are for... I do not agree with the... what they are doing. It's the same Quran. There's only Islam. Whether you go, it's the same Allah we pray to. It's the same Quran we read. So I don't see any difference. Divide et impera may function for them, but it doesn't work for us. We are all the same, and we are all for Bahrain, for Yemen, the most peaceful of protests. And if we don't hear anything from the West, we don't care.
Marcia.
Inshallah, we will win.
Inshallah. Marcia from London, thank you very much for your call. We've got another caller now, Hashim from Canada. Welcome, Hashim, to comment.
Yeah, hi. I have been watching the situation in Bahrain, Yemen, and Saudi Arabia, Libya. Now, this awakening has come through a reason. There is a reason behind all these kind of awakening. And people's revolution did not come overnight. It has come, which has developed it slowly and slowly. It has developed it through about 50 years. Because Saudi Arabia has been interfering in the region, the whole region. It has sent its troops to Yemen to kill Yemeni citizens. It is interfering in Bahrain directly. It has been interfering in all region with different names, Wahhabi, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab. They are supported. They are the only supporters of these things. So what this should, I will, first of all, before I make my comments in detail, I would like to send my condolence to the Muslim Ummah of the world. Muslim Ummah of the world, because about 30 mosques has been demolished in Bahrain. Mm. The mosque, there is a rule for a mosque. Nobody can destroy a mosque which has been already established. The Ummah, Muslim Ummah, should know that this is happening because of Saudi Arabia and Bahraini King and Al Khalifa. This is not the end of. I said to my previous comment that the Wahhabi has demolished a lot of shrines in Somalia, and I also want to add the most of the Sayyids or Shah or all those whose grandmother is Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha has been demolished by the Saudi government in Al-Baqi, a cemetery grave in Medina. So no Muslim have even thought about building the shrine of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra.
Okay, so I take your point about the demolitions. I mean, there's been a talk for 50 years as well of, for example, Christians lacking the support for Christians in Palestine because of their confusion about Zionism. Is there a confusion about what you as a Muslim may see as a desecration and what others in Saudi Arabia, in the royal family, may think that they're doing for the good of Saudi Arabia? Is that possible?
Yes, because everybody sees Saudi Arabia and the royal family as a symbol of Muslims. But on the hidden agenda, they have Wahhabism. They have been spreading Wahhabism under the name of good name like Salafi. They are using and they have been entering in every university.
Okay, Hashim, thank you very much for your comment. I think we're getting very deep into the religious aspect of these conflicts, which definitely has a place. But I think we'll move now to Tony from London. Hello, Tony. Welcome to comment.
Hi, Laurent.
I did hear you.
Hi, Laurent. Yes, thanks again, once again, first and foremost, wonderful program. We're always watching it. Thanks for the good job your people do, always keeping the world informed in an impartial way and in a fair way. Thanks very much. Keep the good job, Lorraine, doing a wonderful job. Right, now let's go to, we go down to the, I'm going to make a general sort of, take a general view of what's happening in the Middle East. It's all these so-called Arab family dynasties, and the American and the West seem to have them in their pocket. Now, we see the desecration of mosques, the Quran, and we see now even medical men. How low can people get to go and attack medical people who are there to relieve pain and to help the suffering? You know, it is so disgusting. I just can't stomach it. And, you know, they'll get their coming up, these so-called family dynasties, you know, who find themselves, you know, in the pockets of
but
the
American.
But, you
know, Tony, we shouldn't be that surprised that doctors get targeted in times of oppression. I mean, writers and poets, they're not on the front line of a military, and yet they get locked up, murdered, they disappear. So doctors treating people who are injured, again, protected under international law. Should we be that surprised? It's unfortunately nothing new.
Well, they'll get their coming up, and they can see the writing is on the wall for them, you know, and they find that the Americans will desert them, like they deserted their beloved friend, Mr. Mubarak, in Egypt. And I think the writing is on the wall, and you just cannot defy history. And this is what the Arab family dynasties are doing, trying to defy history, and you can't do that. They're coming up is on the wall. I don't know what you think, Lorraine.
Tony, I wonder, you're in London. How are you feeling? I was thinking that this is all a billionaire's club. I think if you can have the Bahraini king come to a wedding in London while you're seeing people in Bahrain die, women raped, doctors attacked and disappeared, and yet he's going to be, well, treated like royalty. He is, in his sense, anyway. Are we proud? Are you a proud Londoner to have visitors like this?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a very bad line. I mean, yes, and they all invite you to the royal wedding. All these gangsters. You know, there's a saying, birds of us are the same feather flock together. And we're going to see that royal wedding next week.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thanks very much for your call, Tony. Well, I think we're about to go now to Aris Roussinos. He's the Press TV correspondent for the Mediterranean. Aris, hello, you're on comment.
Hello, Lauren. Yes, I'm speaking to you from a ferry, a Greek chartered ferry, which is going to leave Benghazi imminently for the besieged city of Misrata in western Libya. Misrata is the only western outpost of the rebellion in Libya. The rebels are being pushed back from their toehold in Misrata every day. Fighting terrible there, and this ferry does go out, pick up wounded, pick up mainly African nationals, that's sub-Saharan Africans, and some Libyan families.
We've been hearing that Gaddafi paid tens of millions to North Africans as mercenaries. You won't have seen them yet, but presumably they're in Misrata. What do you know about that?
It's actually a very bad line here.
I keep getting bad lines tonight. What do you expect to see in Misrata?
I'm sorry?
What's the situation like in Misrata as you travel there?
Yes, the situation in Misrata. I've been given some footage from someone I met who actually escaped from Misrata only yesterday. He got a ferry to Tobruk. And he showed me footage of his friends, fellow university students, completely untrained soldiers, fighting Gaddafi's mercenaries in Misrata with light weaponry, even improvised rockets, like rockets made from soldered metal tubes, just the scaffolding, really, using shipping containers mounted on flatbed trucks just as barricades to hide behind them. But the rebels, completely untrained soldiers, are being pushed back every day. There's heavy shelling and mortar fire in Misrata. Really, the rebels only control the harbour, essentially. Every night, small fishing boats leave Benghazi with 100 to 200 fishing boats packed full of ammunition and weapons. They're being sent to Misrata with NATO support.
Aris, can I just ask you, what exactly are you looking at now? What's the scene on the boat, and what are you looking at? Are there airstrikes ahead of you? Is it all quiet?
Sorry, Lauren, I can't hear you.
That's okay. What are you looking at now? What's the scene on the boat for those trying to flee or trying to travel? What's it like?
I'm sorry, Iris, again, I can't hear you.
It's okay, terrible. It's very windy. It's obviously a bad line. Iris, can you tell us what your journey is like and who you're travelling with?
Okay. So far, it's a largely empty ship. It's a crew of about 30 Qatari doctors who've actually chartered the ship. The ship can hold about 1,000 people. It's being left empty for a reason, simply to bring out as many people as possible from this rather. This particular ship has done the journey three times in the past few days. Interestingly, the ship was prevented from entering Misrata only a few days ago by a Spanish NATO naval force. Armed commandos came on board the ship, held the crew all in one room at gunpoint for 5 hours, not allowing them to move or to drink water or to go to the toilet. They were all searched. The crew are very angry. No one's entirely sure why that happened, especially considering NATO are actually allowing the rebels to send in as much arms and ammunition and soldiers as they possibly can.
It's bizarre. Lots of bizarre behaviour from NATO at the moment. Rebels, I suppose, calling for arms from NATO?
Sorry, as I speak, there's some anti-aircraft fires going into the air here in Benghazi. Not sure why, it's probably just a morale booster. But, yeah. Sorry, carry on.
Okay, Aris, we wish you a safe journey and we'll speak to you again soon. Next up, let us have an email that you have sent in. The emails. There we are. It says, Jeffrey from London, he was sat in an NHS hospital ready to do a blood test for 4 whole hours. We justify your funding. Royal Wedding Hit Me in the Face campaign. Why on earth am I paying for the wedding, the security of it, whatever, when I have to wait 4 hours to get a blood test? The NHS's blood is being sucked dry. Why? So that us idiots can pay for a monarchy wedding and for their campaign in an NHS hospitals. A very good point there. The civil list actually paying $40 million estimated for this wedding. No direct new funding coming from the taxpayer, but you know what? The civil list is just money we've been giving to our royal family for generations anyway. It's not like they've got real jobs. Well, let's go to Maha in London now. Welcome, Maha, to comment.
Hello, Lauren.
Good evening. What was your comment this evening?
About Bahrain, I think of all the uprisings, Bahrainis have been the most well-behaved and most organized, and they are getting the roughest deal. Nobody is looking towards them. Everybody is turning their back on them. Mm. And they have conducted themselves remarkably well. Is there nothing the world can do? I think when their students can't go to demos, if they put it on the net or some other way of advertising, others go in their place so that they don't come to harm, at least not in the United Kingdom. And the other thing we can do is put out on some information channel what the composition is there. I am told that some 70% of the coastline of Bahrain is owned by one family. Mm. Over 50% of the land is owned by one family.
Mm. And it's a bit like Britain then.
Sorry?
It's a little bit like Britain then, actually.
I don't know if it's that bad here. I don't think royal family owns 70% of our coastline. But that really is amazing. I think it is, except for Qatar, which may be similar, but there is no other country in the world which is actually owned by a couple of hundred royal family people. We need to propagate this a little better, the demography of it and these facts, so that the world knows that what passes for the government of Bahrain is a family just and imprisoned population.
Okay, Maha, a call there for human shields to Bahrain. Very difficult because it's such a small place, very difficult to get in. Well, we're coming up for a short break now. We've been talking about Bahrain and other topics. Keep the calls coming. Don't go away. And we'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Comment with me, Lauren Booth, standing in for George Galloway tonight. Well, today we've been talking about Bahrain, royal weddings, intervention with the US involved in Libya, Egypt, and I hope we'll be talking about Egypt and Yemen. But I also want to talk about the royal wedding. I'm a Londoner. There are cutbacks in the UK. Libraries are closing. People are waiting hours and hours for treatment. The public transport system is about to be cut back. You know what? This is a great time to have a show of sincere opulence on the streets of London. It's a great time to line the streets with armed military police at our expense when we don't need to. It's a great time to be showing the royal families of Bahrain and Saudi and places like that that no matter what you do, as long as you're a billionaire, you're welcome in London. Why don't you give me a call with your thoughts? Ali, you're in London. Welcome to Comment.
How are you?
I'm fine, brother. What would you like to talk about this evening?
I just want to talk about the war in Libya, the conflict in Libya. I just want to tell all the Muslim brothers and sisters to be aware of the UK involvement and America involvement, France involvement in the uprising in Libya. But they have to remember, if they haven't gone to Libya, they wouldn't have killed more civilians like what they did now. That they said they are going to Libya to protect civilians. But I don't think they went there to protect civilians. They went for oil. That we have, the fact is they are going there for oil. So everybody has to know that. All the Muslim brothers have to realize what is happening in Yemen, what is happening in Bahrain, why they can't go there, and they went to Libya. Libya is a small country. Why did they want to suck all the oil from there? So Obama administration and UK administration, Cameron administration and Sarkozy administration, let me tell you, they are playing a foul game over there in Libya. They are there for thick oil because Gaddafi don't want them to.
Okay, Ali. Let me just ask you a question. If the rebels got together in a group and said, please arm us, please come and assist us, what would you think then of international intervention, ground troops in Libya? Would your thoughts change, or are you sure this is about oil?
Sorry, I can't get what you just said.
Ali, what if the rebels, as they're called, ask for more assistance? What would you think about that?
The intervention in Libya.
Yeah.
The intervention in Libya, it just went there because of oil. That's what I can say, because they don't go there for the aim to protect civilians. They went there for...
How do you know that, Ali? What do you base that on?
No, because why they can't go to the other Arab countries like Yemen, Bahrain, or other Arab countries where they were.
Some people would say yes, but you know, government officials would say that's high politics. Libya is of more substantial importance because of where it is and its size than, say, tiny, poor little Bahrain. It just makes, they'd say, good political sense.
No, whatever they say, I'm just telling you, whatever they say, they went for oil, that's all. And they are not playing anything like they want us to. They want to protect civilians. That's not what they were there for. They have to go to Bahrain to protect civilians. Like what their aim, their goal, They said they are going to Libya to protest civilians. They don't go there to prevent civilians.
Okay, Ali from London, thanks very much for your comment there about Libya and the apparent international hypocrisy regarding leaving Bahrainis to suffer. Now we're going to Shaukat in Manchester. Welcome to comment.
Hello, assalamu alaikum, thank you.
Alaikum salam.
Right, yeah, I'd like to say the Bahraini authorities think that they're going to enjoy the support of the Western powers. Well, they got another thing coming, and they need to think again. Because I think as soon as the Libyan oil facilities are secured by the Western, by the NATO forces, you will see the Western powers' attitude toward Bahrain changing. And I think Saudi Arabia made a bad judgment by intervening into Bahrain, because now you'll find a revolt and uprising within its own country, and it has given its people a voice, and I think it will fall, the Saudi regime will fall within.
But that's a very interesting idea. I mean, you know, one of the richest, if not the richest regime in the world, that's an awful lot of military might to pour on your people. And remember the Saudi regime threatening people just 3 weeks ago with severe actions if people did try to take to the streets. But you're feeling positive that watching people in Bahrain suffer, the people in Saudi will react?
Yeah, well, I think these regimes, I mean, they're not for real, you know what I mean? They're not for real. I don't know what they're thinking, you know. And do the Bahrainis think all these revolt and uprising, they're going to sustain and stay in power forever or in Saudi Arabia? I mean, what are these regimes thinking, you know?
I think the game changer is social media. They have been able to stay in for 50, 60, 100 years in places before now and much longer previously in history. But now, once people uprise, we all know about it and things move on fairly rapidly, as we're seeing in Egypt and elsewhere. Thank you, Shaukat in Manchester. UKG in Benin. Welcome to comment. What would you like to say?
Yes. I'm calling from Benin Republic, Mr. Okege. Hello?
Yes, you're welcome to comment. What would you like to talk about?
Yes, yeah. My comment goes on Libya against the war against the masses raised by Gaddafi. You see, if you look at it through this, you find out that this is very, very bad, that all the Christians have to pray for we. Arabic African brothers on what is happening to them today, because many innocent people are dying every day without committing anything. So, and the wicked leader that he has could not be able to understand that this is his last time to leave the country and run away, because I think the best thing is for him and his son all to leave the country and leave the masses alone.
Well, I mean, it's a nice idea that if dictators left the country very quickly, but as we've seen in Libya, once they've made their billions, they feel somehow that they own the very land they're standing on, don't they? They own the land. That's the feeling. Oh. Well, thanks very much for calling. Obviously, didn't like that last comment from me. As I say, it doesn't represent Press TV. These are just my views. Interestingly, today in London, Libya's foreign minister, Abdul al-Obeidi, made an offer to the international community saying, if you stop bombing at once, we will hold elections in 6 months. Of course, you know, the international community might say it would be nice if Gaddafi didn't run in the elections, because that might make it difficult for people to vote safely. However, the response from the Gaddafi regime is this: that wouldn't be democracy, would it? What do you think? Fatima in Birmingham, welcome to comment. What would you like to talk about, Fatima?
Salam alaikum, Lauren.
Alaikum salam, sister.
Right. The reason I'm calling is to make a comment about the House of Saud.
Go ahead.
And the damage they're doing in Bahrain, to the mosques, to the people. And we should not, in England, be inviting people to be present at royal weddings, who sanction extrajudicial killing, mosques being destroyed. Why should we be forced to put up with this rubbish?
Mm.
I am committed to seeing the House of Saud fall, and there are many people who want that to happen.
Fatima, I think a lot of people watching will share your disgust that these billionaires can just travel about, leaving a pain, agony, lack of democratic rights in their wake, eating the finest foods in the world, behaving in ways that they like with diplomatic immunity, coming to our shores. We're paying for the House of Saud security when they come here. Doesn't that feel lovely?
Yeah, well, this is the reason I'm ringing in. I actually have got a controversial comment to make. They are not fit to have the body of Rasulullah in their country.
That's a very strong comment, Fatima. Do you feel that you reflect a lot of people that you know when you say that?
People have said that, yeah, they have. But they're probably too frightened to say it on national TV in the way I have.
Well, you're a plain-spoken woman, Fatima, I have to give you that. I mean, the thing is, there's this billionaires club. Tony Blair, who played his part in the invasion of Iraq, which led to 1 million deaths, many more millions scattered across the globe from Iraq, still suffering internal turmoil, and he's treated like a celebrity wherever he goes. He's never been tried for a crime, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, we'll see. We can work on it.
All right, Fatima, thanks very much for calling. Keep up the good, strong spirit there in Birmingham. Let's go now to Mohammed in Italy. Welcome, Mohammed, to comment.
Good evening.
Good evening. What would you like to talk about?
Yes, please. I want to talk about my people being killed, used as missionaries in Libya.
Yes. Carry on.
My senior brother was killed. He's called Mustafa in Benghazi. Three people were killed in Musrata. At the same time, they were calling them missionaries. These are poor people who don't know how to come. We were there at Macy's. We bless our house. We do so many things there. If they need revolution, I'm begging them, they should leave Ghanaians and the poor ones. Peace and fight for revolution. I'm begging. The opposition isn't going to be fast. But these things were done by the Benghazi guys. I'm begging God and them. They should look at themselves. They say it's them, God. To live as we were there. We have families. We take care as leaders. I'm begging. They should look civilians and they should know missionaries and civilians, the difference, before they attack.
Mama, tell me, one of your friends was badly burned in Libya as a result of some violent action. How did that happen?
You know, they killed them in Musrata the day before yesterday. They called me. Mustafa was shot down like a dog at a missionary, which he not even know. He never said military before. He's a tailor. He's so close. This is an innocent person.
I can hear you're upset. Just one question. What do you want NATO to do? What do you want them to do, having lost family in Libya?
I want both opposition and Gaddafi's forces to put eye down and know the civilians and fight upon themselves. We are all ourselves need democracy, need peace of movement. But there's no use we, the workers there, as politics. I'm begging them.
I'm sorry for your loss, Mohammed. We're very grateful that you called in a call for disengagement from both sides in Libya. Thank you. We go now to Zulfika in Denmark. I hope I said your name right. Welcome to comment.
Yeah.
Zulfika in Denmark. Can you hear me? You're on comment.
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Brother, what would you like to say?
Well, you have said it correctly. My name is Zulfika. I just like to mention about ongoing problems all over the world, you know, happening, whether it's in Yemen or whether it's in Egypt or Tunisia or wherever, is basically is a time for the Western policymakers to realize that it's time to give that peace and harmony what they value, they stand for in their own countries. And they can only do it by just lifting the hand from those people who are unlawfully controlling for last century or so, you know. And that very much depend on to the policymakers who are manipulating by their actions and by the means of virtues or whatever you can call it.
Zulfikar, wasn't George Bush's mission as a president, as he stated it, to export democracy to the rest of the world? Are you sure you want the West to export democracy and not to just disentangle itself and leave everyone alone?
Yeah. Well, my understanding about the democracy is a very fine institution. But the thing is, anything you try to explain it to the third world countries or so-called third world countries, you first have to have enough given knowledge and information so they can understand what democracy is all about. You can't just tell people, you know, in Pakistan or in some part of in Asia, you know, democracy is very good for you. But on the top, you are just manipulating with your own dirty hand the very same democracy.
Zulfikar, that's a great comment. I agree with you 100%. But of course, you know, if you behave like that way and wait for people to find their own route through the best system in their countries, you'd have to respect their way of life. I don't think that's what we're seeing at play in the last century, do you, from the West? Sheila, you'd like to talk about Bahrain. Welcome to comment.
Yes, no, I'd like to speak to you about Bahrain. I've been listening to your program, and all your comments are so biased. They are so wrong to most of the people in Bahrain. I've lived in Bahrain nearly 31 years. Of course, I'm an expatriate, but I've lived here, worked here with Bahraini, Sunni, Shia, as we now call ourselves, citizens of Bahrain, and we never had any problems. I don't understand your reporting of our situation in Bahrain now.
Sheila, let me just ask you something. Say again, how long have you been outside of Bahrain?
I've been in Bahrain. This is for 31 years.
So are you in Bahrain now?
Yes, of course I am.
So what's going on around you? What part of Bahrain are you in?
I'm in East Rafah.
And have you seen or witnessed or even heard about any of the mosques destroyed? Because 30 mosques have been demolished.
Of course I have. I've heard about all of it.
And you're saying that people are happy about that? Because all we're saying is that that seems to make people unhappy, particularly Muslims, oddly.
Well, most of my friends, for your information, most of my friends in Bahrain are not expatriates. They are Muslims. And they are from both sects. Shia and Sunni.
And they don't mind about mosques being demolished?
No, the mosques that have been demolished were temporary mosques. Okay, they might have been there for some years, but they were legally built.
Ah, illegally built. So the regime is branding them illegal.
They're all illegally built. They're all illegal buildings. Mm. And that is what the government is doing now. They're just getting rid of what they had tolerance for before, but now, if no one else in Bahrain wants tolerance, the government has decided that, okay, we don't have tolerance too.
Sheila, I'm delighted that the expats are happy in Bahrain. We certainly wish that others were as happy in Bahrain.
I don't quite accept
this. Everybody's okay about these temporary mosques being demolished. It's just simply.
You know something? You're not listening to me. I am not an expat. I've got retirement visa in Bahrain. I love Bahrain. I mix with Bahrainis. I'm not like a British in England, where you live in your areas and you have Pakistanis and you have this and you have that.
In Bahrain, we all live together. So you have obviously...
Sheila, I'll ask you, I will be happy to have one. Ask you a question then. With all due respect, just from your side and from what you're seeing in this mixed society, what's going on in the streets of Bahrain? Are there no protests that you've heard of? Is everything calm there? Or are people taking to the streets, as we've been seeing in footage?
For your information, you're obviously working for an Iranian news channel, so you have no idea what is going on in Bahrain.
I think I asked you a polite question and you're just being abusive now. Thanks, Sheila, for calling anyway. Thanks very much. Okay, we're going now to an email that you have sent in. And this is coming from Leanne from London. Salam, Lauren, so excited to see you on TV. I converted to Islam last month. I'd like to be your friend. That would be a bit weird, laugh out loud. I had two questions. How are non-Muslim white women treating you? Because I get a bit of evil look sometimes. My second question is, what was that Sheila going on about? Bahrain's king is ordering the annihilation of his Muslim citizens. Shias are getting shot in the face. Is she blind? If there were no problems before, there sure are now, and our queen invited its king. Well, you know, sometimes you get calls. I remember this during Labour and Tory campaigns, campaigns in Britain, and you'd get workers for the parties to call into programmes to give the party's view. Now, I'm not saying that, Sheila, but sometimes that does happen. Okay, Mike in London, welcome to comment.
Salaam alaikum, sister.
Alaikum salam, brother. We're very short on time, so please make your point.
Sure. I'm ringing up, yeah? But I want to start from Libya. You know, when the U.S. is going to Libya and they say we go there helping the civilians, yeah? And other way in Bahrain, the Saudi Arabia, like America, they support Saudi Arabia, and they go there and they go Bahrain killing people, you know, and other countries like Iran and Palestinian and Afghanistan, they kill even killing people. They don't say anything. But on my point is, we all Muslim, we should be united. We should know what's going on in the Middle East. And in Bahrain, they don't show on the TV. They don't show on the channel Arabic. They're not allowed to show anything what's going on in Bahrain. But every time they show in Libya, people getting killed, and we all sitting watching, you know?
You know what, Mike? There are other great alternative news sources coming out of Bahrain. You only have to go to Facebook, where the youth get their Facebook pages up and going. So there are places to find that information. But I take your point. Just quickly, we'll go to Torsif in UK. Welcome to comment. We're short on time, but please make your point.
Hi, I'll be very brief about Bahrain. The dichotomy and the strange is like the West's approach to the Bahrain situation. Like on one way, they say that they want the democracy, they want the people to come on to the forefront to cover in their future. And what's happening in Bahrain, the people are demanding their basic rights, their political rights, besides color, creed, sex, caste, everything. So you know, why West is showing here a double standard that they are helping such a brutal regime, which is killing the innocent people, be they Shia, Sunni, Christian,
okay.
Jews, anybody.
Thanks very much, Torsif. So as we look forward, or not, to the royal wedding, we can count on one thing. Wealthy people will gather together. I'm afraid that's it for comment this week. Thanks for joining me. Stay tuned. The news is next.
Hello, if you just comment, your name and the picture of that number. And just make sure that your television volume is set up to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need to put through your phone number and then we'll be back. Comment.
Can I have your telephone number?
Okay, so I'll
make a comment after this. I'll call you back when you make sure.